There's one. Set for stun.
Three guys sitting in a dark room that smells like bad cucumbers.
Don't make me angry. You wouldn't like me when I'm angry.
Inconceivable!
Now featuring 11. 11 listeners.
This is me. This is the Unique Geek.
And welcome to another edition of The Unique Geek. I am your host for these 40 days of Dragon Con Countdown podcast we're doing. And joining me, as has been the case and will always be the case as long as we do these, for these director interviews.
Until he fires me.
Yeah, fires you because, you know, you get paid so much money. Is Lee. Lee, how you doing?
I'm good. How are you, John? You mean that check isn't real?
It's really big, but
yeah,
it's not
real. Was pretty, and like pink, and it had purple writing and flowers and all on it. I thought it was a real check, John.
It was as big as a person. So
as
no.
Big as a person, that doesn't work. Okay.
So 32 days, Lee. You excited?
Oh Jesus! Oh God! Jesus! Oh God! Oh Jesus! Oh God! Oh, somebody come and hold me. Yeah, no, I'm perfectly excited and totally prepared. And yeah, 32 days. It's great. Really? 32? Oh my God.
Of course, it's 32 days as of the recording of this and depending on
as of the recording of this. By the time it shows up, I don't know what that is, but, you'll know that one. And then what the other thing is, yeah, we're at 32 days and we're about probably 15 to 20 days before the schedule is out. So people will be able to see what is going on at Dragon Con for the for real schedule up until any changes that are made at the con. So
right. And before I introduce you, have you introduce our guest? That's actually one of the other questions that came up over on the Unique Geek listserv, which was, someone was asking for when the actual schedule came out. Fortunately, all the other folks had listened to the other podcast,
the Regina one, very
and
good.
We're able
yes.
to point out that it's about 10 to 14 days before the.
Usually what is happening right now is all the track directors have turned in our schedules. We turned them in, week and a half ago. We were supposed to be done. And what they are doing now is making sure that we haven't dual booked guests. This is all done online, but doing that so that, for example, our friends at Need Coffee, who are doing a couple of panels, I don't have them at the same time as Brit Track has them. And they do that for everybody. And then they also make sure, looking around too, at how the flow of the convention is going to go. Do we need to maybe move this room or this person because it's going to give us a really bad log jam? Now, sometimes you can't change that. Last year, as I recall, Leonard Nimoy was on Sunday at 10 a.m. and a Twilight panel was right after that. And then Patrick Stewart was right after that. So you had three kind of really big panels. Boom, boom, boom. And you have to have big rooms for that. And that's what they do. But overall, it's trying to do a good flow too, and not making somebody run from the Hyatt to the Hilton to the Sheraton to the Marriott in 30 minutes, if at all possible.
And that, when you say not making someone, you mean one of the guests from running?
Actually the big name guest, yes. You don't want your guest or your staff running like that, or even people. Well, sometimes you can't help it with people. They're going to want to see something that is in very different places. But for the most part, it is talking about the guest or the staff, because it is really hard to get from the Westin to the Sheraton in 30 minutes and get set up and get ready to go and be on time. So you want to make that. But it's also the guest. And do remember, most of our big name guests, though, only do one panel a day. So somebody, most of the Star Trek people that are coming, we have a lot of next generation people coming, will only do one panel a day. Now, sometimes they'll do more than that. That's up to them. But usually the agreement with Dragon Con is one panel a day.
Okay, cool. We did have someone write in, actually ask, had another question, which was, and I'm going to tell you right now, we probably don't have the answer for this, but maybe Lee can find out using her sources, which is, which was, What have they done anything to improve the registration process this year? I mean, that's probably everyone's number one complaint is registration. Picking up your badges, really, not the registration
picking
part.
Picking up your badge. Picking up your badge. I will say there. Here is what I heard at the last director's meeting, which hopefully will help people. The best idea is if you have that little yellow card, if you have the little card that said you're up for a pass, bring that. That will shorten the process this year. As for other things that have been done, I don't know. I know that there are no Ticketmaster tickets this year. That's been announced on the site. All tickets are through the Dragon Con office at this point. There, and they will be accepting them up to almost the day before con or so. And then anything else will be by at the door. Mm-hmm. So, and there will be a will call area and things like that if they could not print them prior to because you ordered late. Do not put off ordering late, though, because will call is going to be a very long line, we bet. If you do put it off late, it will be the worst line ever. So don't do that. Go on and order now.
Yeah, and I was about to say.
But yeah, there is no Ticketmaster. That's probably going to help. I will say if you're paying cash, bring correct and exact change. That makes it go faster as well.
Yeah, I was about to say, I haven't gotten my yellow card yet, and then I realized why I wouldn't have. Anyway.
You wouldn't get it.
Yeah. I'm so used to getting it, and then that was anyway.
And if you haven't gotten a yellow card, I will say, very honestly, if you have not gotten a yellow card, call the Dragon Con office, because they have mailed them all out now. They've gotten some back, and they want to mail them to you and get them to you as soon as they can.
All right. Well, we've bored everyone with the technical stuff, so let's get to the exciting stuff. Lee, if you wouldn't mind introducing our guest today.
I would like to introduce, this is Mary. She is the second in charge for the Young Adult Literature track. She and Bev Kodak put this on together every year with a host of other people also on staff as well. So, hi, Mary.
Hi, Lee.
How are you?
Oh, I'm just delightful.
Mary is also someone, she works, she's very close to a lot of other tracks and very involved in Dragon Con. She's also somebody who works with Whedonverse, and she'll actually be on an X-Track panel this year. We did one last year and doing it again this year, which is on religion and spirituality in the Buffy and Supernatural universes and what goes along with and disagrees with actual dogma from that spirituality. So Mary will be there. Wayne, who is the director for Whedonverse, and also Father Brian Small, who is a Catholic priest, who will also be
and
there.
We
and
love him. We love
He's
him
great. He is great. He is a great priest, and many people who have said that they have actually now gone back to church and gone to his church, which is very nice. So Mary, how many years is this for you working on Young Adult Lit?
Actually, it's like one of those, like, okay, carry the one, you know, plus two. I think it's six or seven.
really?
Yeah, 6 or 7 years. I started, hold on, let me just do the math. Like, yeah, 7 years. This will be my seventh year. I worked at Whedonverse for the first couple of years and then have been on Young Adult Lit since I met Bev at a track meeting or whatever and wanted to try a new track. And I introduced myself because there's this thing I have where I'm not shy at all. And so.
No, I thought you were actually a shy and retiring person.
It's really, I put up a front. I really, really do. But yeah, so that's how I got into Young Adult Lit, and I love to read. So, I mean, it was a perfect fit.
Well, and I love how you're calling it Young Adult Lit. I'm calling it Young Adult Lit. John is going to put it up as Young Adult Lit, YA Lit for short, because it is Young Adult Lit. A lot of people at one point thought this was only Harry Potter, and it is not.
Because
what else? I mean, no. What else do you talk about?
It's really the Twilight one, isn't it? Isn't it the Twilight track?
I'm not speaking to you anymore. He's no longer here, is what I'm saying.
We will come after you, John. Yeah.
Yeah.
Go for it, Mary.
We will cut you in your sleep, really.
No. Such a shy and retiring person. Okay.
Yeah, or evil, whatever, however you want to go. No, honestly, the thing about YA Lit is, and this is both a good thing and a bad thing, is that you can never catch up with YA Lit because there are so many books, so many series, so many authors. And now that publishing houses are finding that they can actually make a lot of money off of young adult lit. Like, you've got the Twilight series and Hunger Games and books by Holly Black and Scott Westerfeld. And these are making
Percy
a lot
Jackson.
Of money. Exactly. Making a lot of money for these publishing houses. And so there's even more, like the whole universe is being flooded with young adult lit, and it's making them money like in movie form as well. Like, as we're seeing with the Twilight books and the Harry Potter are the films for Harry Potter and Twilight. So, I mean, like, it's a treasure trove as far as, you know, like, monetarily speaking.
Well, and it's kind of amazing too, because it, I think I saw this with the Harry Potter books, and I've now seen it with my son just finished up the Percy Jacksons and loved them all. And is reading the next series that I'm probably going to say it wrong. Rick Riordan? However you pronounce it. The guy who wrote the Percy Jackson books, he's done a great job. He's kept kids very involved in them. And
right.
The thing that I've enjoyed about for my son is he can start on something like one of the Harry Potters, and they start it young enough that he could read it when he got to a certain time. He could read it and enjoyed it. And then as they got more difficult, he was able to follow it more. But what was really great, he's gotten older, but what was really great is also with the Percy Jacksons is it got him very involved in wanting to understand the different myths behind the books. What was a Greek myth? What was a Roman myth? So we were able to get books on that, and that's increased his reading as well. And so it's been very interesting to see how these
gateway drug books.
It is really a gateway drug. It is not always a cheap gateway drug. We want to let you know.
Fair.
Thank you for putting out 7 different books that we got to buy. But, you know, I also, it makes your kid, and I don't know if you guys are doing a panel on this, we want to talk about that, but it also makes your kid a very critical reader and a critical movie watcher. Because I got 45 minutes when we left Spiderwick Chronicles and Percy Jackson on everything that they screwed up.
Right.
That was in the book, or that they didn't do right from the book, or they left out of the book and they actually really needed to put into the movie. Literally 45 minutes of at that point, 9, 10, and 11-year-old discussing it. And he does it a little bit with the Harry Potters, but they're such bigger books that he does it less.
Well,
but,
and the thing about
really
it is,
on it with Percy Jackson.
Every year, just about, we have a panel called Page to Screen. And because there's almost always some young adult lit book that gets made into a movie during the year. And like with this year, we've got Harry Potter and Twilight and whatever. And so, so there's always, I mean, it's always people are so upset that this got left out or this, you know, like they changed this character or merged these two characters. And, you know, you're never going to please everyone with a book because, you know, seriously, if you sat down and filmed all of Harry Potter 6, which I still believe has not come out on, like, they didn't make it because the 6th movie was so horrible that I have blocked it out of my memory. And we're just like, oh, so they're skipping the 6th movie and just going right to 7. That's fine.
Yeah.
But like, oh, it's okay. It's a place I live. You know, they like me here. But so it's always like we have that panel every year. The room is always packed because people want to be able to talk about what they hate about it.
Well, I'll be sending an 11-year-old there, and it's awesome to watch an 11-year-old go chapter and verse on
Percy Jackson.
On Percy Jackson, on Spiderwick. I mean, he can do it on so many of them. And I think he understands now. I mean, he's gotten to the point of hitting, and I don't know if you do this for kids or adults, but he's gotten to the point of understanding, you know what? These are really long books. Sometimes you can't have it all in there, but, and then he'll go like, but they really had to have, and they really should have had. And I understand why they left this out. So he's even able to kind of prioritize his anger at it, which is interesting.
He has it in levels. The end of the 6th Harry Potter movie. Oh, man, stabbing motions. Like, I was like, sorry. It's called The Half-Blood Prince. And we, like, stop talking about who the Half-Blood Prince is. I was like, hello, it's the friggin' title of your movie, freaks. Anyway.
Yeah. Well, so another question here, Mary, is what are you guys also get guests now from the movies or writers from the books. So who are some of the guests you guys are going to have this year?
Well, this year, as our author guests, we're having Kathleen Dewey, who wrote Skin Hunger and, now I can't remember the second book. Crap. I'm the worst guest ever. No,
No, it's okay.
But she wrote Skin Hunger, and then it's actually part of a trilogy. And so the second book came out last year, and then the third book she's still writing. And then also we're having three guests from the Twilight movies. We have two werewolves and a vampire. And, you know, cause we've got to keep it evens, I guess. Although
as much as you can. Yeah.
Yeah. And so, we're excited about that, and I will be running the Q&As for those. So you're going to have to deal with me if you ask an inappropriate question.
Oh, y'all are in deep trouble.
I know, right? I have to say, you know, like, and I like anything that gets people to read. So I, you know, like, I like Twilight for that. I am not a big Twilight fan, and, you know, that's okay. And I try to be nice to people who really, really are.
Try to be nice. Come on. It takes different strokes for all the sci-fi world.
It does indeed. It does indeed. Well, plus, you know, Kevin Smith, he's like, yeah, he's like, don't mock those girls. You know, everybody's going to start somewhere. He's like, also think to the future. Right now, they're 13-year-old girls who are obsessed with vampires. But in 5 years, they're going to be 18-year-olds obsessed with vampires. Think to the future, my friend.
Think to the future. Come on. Now, are the Twilight guests the only movie guests this year for you guys?
Yeah. This year, we just have our Twilight guests. Like, you know, in the past, we've gotten guests from Harry Potter and whatnot. But I think with the seventh movie, like, they're all just like, it's just too crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's it. So what are some of the panels that you're really looking forward to this year? I mean, what are like some old standbys or something new you're doing this year that you're like, this is always something we love doing?
Well, honestly, my favorite thing that we're doing this year, and then this actually feeds into talking about Twilight, is that we're doing a panel about whether or not the images of love that we see in Twilight are healthy. And so, because so many of the things that they go through and talk about in Twilight, so many of the, like, the quote unquote romantic, like, beautiful things that they happen there can actually be construed as like stalking or, you know, like just, well, I say that unironically, you know, like,
yes, you do. Yes, you do.
And so it's, you know, it's just talking about that because so many young women and, you know, even people, you know, in their 50s and 60s or whatever are reading this as something that is beautiful and wonderful and, sometimes you have to stop and think, like, is this healthy? Like, really? Is it really healthy for this person to have control over your whole life and that he comes into your bedroom and watches you sleep? And I'm sorry, that's creeperton to me.
Yeah. Oh. And watched you sleep for nights on end, I think was actually how the book was written on that. Yeah. Yeah. No, I don't like anybody watch. I freak out if I wake up and my dog's watching me sleep. So, yeah, no, that's just not good. It's not good.
So let me
go ahead.
Go ahead and finish your thought. I was going to ask you a different question.
Oh no. And so another panel that we're doing is called Vacation Destinations. And it's basically like all the different places that are mentioned in fandoms. And so like going to Forks, like there are actually trips that you can go to Forks, which is, you know, is it in Oregon or Washington? I can't remember, but, going and visiting where Twilight was filmed or where Harry Potter was filmed or like the Wizarding World of Harry Potter and, different areas that are described in books. But, you know, like, for people who like the Golden Compass, going up to, where is it? It's at school in London or in England, Oxford, going up to Oxford and, you know, going around and seeing where that was filmed. And so we have a whole bunch of people who have done a whole bunch of traveling and they're going to talk about, you know, like kind of what it was like to see different areas and what you can actually do there. And, you know, especially with the Wizarding World of Harry Potter opened, which I can't wait to go. I'm waiting until it's slightly not as hot. But
well, actually, let me just ask, John, is the Wizarding World of Harry Potter worth going to?
It's definitely worth going to. But not, yeah, you want to wait until the crowd dies down a little bit and, you know, when it's a little cooler. Definitely a little cooler. Cause if you live anywhere in the South right now, it is blazingly hot outside. I just tweeted the other day that I went out to run yesterday at 6 a.m. It was, the heat index was 97 degrees.
Yeah, I feel
that. Good Lord.
It's just ridiculous. Yeah, but, and I love it. It's just like you walk outside and you're like, okay, this is gross.
But my daughter.
Well, and actually, I'm sorry, Jen. Go
I was
for
say,
it.
My daughter though was in heaven at Harry the Potter. Wizarding World of Harry Potter. The only problem I have with it, and you can go to either Weekend Justice or the Unique Geek and hear my whole review on this, is that it's too small. Really, it's just mm-hmm. small. The amount of depth in those books, there's so much stuff you could do with that it just seems like it's too small. But anyway, I digress.
I wonder if they're planning on expansion at some point. Let's make sure people really like it, and then we'll expand it.
Oh, people like it. There's when people are willing to wait 45 minutes in another part of the park just to get to that part of the park.
Wow.
You better. Like it.
That's hardcore.
The reviews for it have been fantastic. The one new ride they added is fantastic. It's just too many people right now.
Yeah.
And too small.
Yeah, I'm waiting for like fall, winterish. Because frankly, Florida in the fall and winter is much more palatable.
Yeah, it is. And ironically, right now I am drinking out of my butterbeer mug. So
nice.
Aww, very cool. So, John, you were going to ask another question.
Yes, I was going to actually ask. So you mentioned that you started off on Whedonverse, but how did you become a volunteer in the first place? And what was your first? When did you first start going to Dragon Con?
I first started going to Dragon Con in 2002, in like that Labor Day. Hello, duh. But whatever. I went in 2002, and I went because I was a huge, huge, huge Buffy fan, and my friends had decided to go and what have you. Well, so we're there, and there was a panel showing a movie that Amber Benson had made called Chance. And and so you had to get in line for it. And so I just started the line. Like, I sat down and just, like, you know, like, whatever. I was like, yeah, this is the line for Chance. And so people are like, really? And I was like, yes, you know, like, this is the line. And so then for the rest of the weekend, people came up to me and would ask me where things were. And I was like, okay, not only is this my first year at Dragon Con, like, I've never been here. I don't know where anything is. I don't even know where I am right now.
But I'm just here.
I'm just standing here, okay? But so Trisha, who was the track director at the time, was like, you know, like, if you ever want to volunteer, let me know. And I was like, oh, okay. So I sent her an email after I got home, because that kept happening. Like, it was always like, you know, like, oh, okay. Well, I would just pull out my pocket program and look it up, but whatever. So, but yeah, so I emailed her the next year, and my first year was actually being half on staff for American Sci-Fi Classics and half on staff for Buffy, because both of them only had room for half a staff member or whatever. And so, and then the following year I was full-time on the Buffy track, which is what it was when I was on it. Yeah. So I basically being bossy and loud and apparently looking like I know what I'm doing, that's how I got as a staff member.
Oh, cool. So so basically you went 1 year as a regular attendee, and then the next year you were volunteering.
Yep.
Wow. You know, that seems
I
to be
think you would
thread.
Find that as really a story that many people have done the same thing. 1 or 2 years coming in and then going, you know what? I could help too.
Mm-hmm.
And thank you guys for doing that, because for those of us that don't want to volunteer, although the last couple of years I found myself doing things that I found myself doing things that I never imagined I would ever do. Oh, wait, that's something else.
We have one unofficial staff member named Jill, and she's a rock star, but she doesn't staff because she wants to go to con and do whatever she wants. But she, like, is always in our room and always doing stuff for us. I was like, basically, we need to, like, pay you or something just to come. Plus, she runs panels for us and stuff, too, and, like, helps out like crazy. And she and her husband build sets and things for Yule Ball. It's insane.
Oh, wow. That's awesome. That is awesome.
Pretty boss.
So let me ask.
All right.
Go ahead, Lee.
No. You're good.
No, no, no.
I think you're going to ask the question I was going to ask. So you go first.
I don't know that you are. I was going to ask, what is your favorite paragraph in one of the books? No, I'm just kidding. See,
don't do that. She'll go get them. Watch.
Find it. Don't even get me stupid.
No. What I was going to ask was, of your time having been going to Dragon Con, who has been your most favorite guest? I know all the guests are are you like them all equally?
Wonderful and
love
perfect
them all
and nice.
Perfect,
yes.
Yeah. But who has been out of that? Who is personally your favorite? Your most favoritist guest?
My most favoritist. I love it. We don't need grammar. Grammar's for suckers.
Well, I mean,
and that was suckers with an S, as in Sam. Anyway. sorry. I felt the need to clarify there. No, honestly, okay. So I get two because I've been on two tracks.
Oh, okay.
So, go for it. Yeah, change the rules. Go for it.
I'm a rule breaker. But no, for the Whedonverse, when I was still on the Buffy track, it was Nathan Fillion. I love that man. I think he is adorable and hysterically funny and just a wonderfully nice human being. And I went to his panel and I ran the Q&A for his panel. And then afterwards, like the day after, I went downstairs to the Walk of Fame during the parade, which tip for you, like new congoers, if you're trying to go to the Walk of Fame where the Walk of Fame isn't ridiculous busy and crazy, really good time during the parade.
But you should really go to the parade and watch it and then march in it because that's cool too.
Right. So I went up to him and I was like, you know what? You have helped proven one of my theories. You've helped prove one of my theories. See, grammar.
Again, grammar sucks.
He's like, what theory is that? I was like, that people from cold climates are funnier because we have to stay indoors all the time. And he's like, what? I was like, yeah, you know, like we have to entertain ourselves and whatever, because he's from Canada and I'm from Toledo, Ohio. And so he's like, oh my God, you're right. Everyone I know that's funny is from somewhere cold. And so we got into this whole long conversation about cold climates and people being funny and playing cards, whatever. But that and probably from YA, I would honest to God, okay, have to say Tom Felton. That kid has charisma. The kid who played Draco Malfoy,
you know,
he has charisma.
That's so funny because I feel like they've underused him in the films. It's just like,
oh, definitely.
Oh,
it's
oh yeah.
It's funny because if you see him in a, he was actually did a cameo. At this point I'm not spoiling anything because either you saw it or you didn't. Get Him to the Greek, and even that little itty bitty cameo, you could see that he was actually a lot more interesting doing that little bit than he has been so far in the film series at least. I mean the last film that you don't remember.
They made the sixth book. Yes. Okay, go ahead.
They gave him a little more to do, and yeah. It was a lot more interesting. And it seemed like his story was more interesting than the rest of the story. It's unfortunate that he's been kind of buried as a character.
Well, and he's a sweet kid too. Like, I mean, you know, I don't even know how old he is. I want to say he's probably in his early 20s, but he was just, you know, so gracious and wonderful. And you know, like you have some guests who think that they are a lot more important than they actually are, and you have to deal with that every year, and that's fine. But I have to say, of the people that we've had like come as guests, the last 4 years that I've been on this track, it's been wonderful because we get these authors who are so shocked that all of these people love their books. Like, it's insane. And so you have people like Tamara Pierce or Holly Black just being like, oh my gosh, like, I don't even know what to do right now because all of these people are so excited and have read my books so many times that they can quote it to you chapter and verse. And you're like, what? It's just such an interesting feeling to have all of these people around who like you admire and whatever, and they actually turn out to be decent human beings. I really like when that happens.
Well, I actually have to say with Tom Felton, it was really funny. I was actually just talking to my son about this the other day. He said when he went to the Tom Felton talk, I think it was last year that he was here, if I'm correct. And yes. I don't, you know, it all runs together for me. I don't ever go to any of those fun things, like, you know, other people's panels. And but he said that it was really funny because he was very funny up on stage. Mm-hmm. He seemed like he was having a good time, and he seemed like somebody you could talk to.
Yep.
And it would have been okay if Duncan had gotten up and asked a question. And it was really funny to me when he said that because I was like, well, Duncan, you know, he's acting. And he's like, oh, I knew he was acting, but you don't know how much he's really acting. And I was like, I get it. That made sense. But yeah, I think he just loved that panel because he said he was a lot funnier than he thought he was. And he does have a lot of charisma. I think he's somebody who, when he finds the right role out of these movies, is going to go a really long way because he does seem to have that Prisman, he does seem to have his head on straight, which is awesome. So yeah,
and abnormal for like a child actor. So
yeah,
so that was interesting. Plus, he's straight funny. He is just straight funny. Like, he has all of these little dorky stories, which of course I heard three times, you know, because people ask the same questions in every Q&A, and so like we get to hear it three times. And he like, but he made each time made the story like slightly different, added different bits here and there or whatever about like, you know, what it was. And he's a good storyteller, which, you know, I like in a person. So,
yay.
But yeah.
Well, all right. So here's the other question. If you could have any guest, living or dead, attend Dragon Con, who would it be?
Okay. See, Lee is going to make fun of me because she knows.
Wait, I'm going to have this as a freaking ringtone.
She knows my answer already. Because Lee and I became friends because of my obsession with Supernatural. And I'm not choosing one person because they are a unit. So Jensen Ackles and Jared Padalecki. Oh my God. Yes, please.
Like, see, and this is every time she ever talks about it, you hear that little, she gets that hitch in her voice and it's like she's like hyperventilating. That's actually what she does every time. She comes up to me at every Dragon Con meeting going, so are they coming? Do you have something secret? Can you tell me? And I'm like, first of all, I don't know anything just like anybody else until all of us know it. Second thing, even if I knew, I wouldn't tell you because when you scream and fall on the ground, everybody's going to know why you're screaming and falling on the ground.
I know, right? Well, and the thing about it is like, I told Bev that if they come to Dragon Con, that I'm going to have to take a year off of being on staff.
We'll just train you over to my room.
I know, right? I was like,
No, I wouldn't do that.
Well, no, and honestly, okay, so my favorite thing, though, is like, generally, okay, yes, my voice does do that pitch thing, but generally, I don't fangirl in front of our guests, you know, like... No. I said, you know, like with Tom Felton, I was like, you know, like a really like great work or whatever, this last movie or whatever. I really felt like your scenes were like the best part of that movie. Cause I was, you know, that's my honest opinion, but I don't freak out because they don't need that. Like, that's not why I'm there. I'm working, you know?
Yeah. We're all working. Yeah.
And so it was like with Nathan Fillion, who's by the way, like prettier than you would ever believe. But I went up to him and I was just like, you know, I really enjoy your work. And I was totally professional and I was cool, calm and collected. And then I fangirl in private. That's how it goes, people. Mm-hmm. That's how you do it if you're going to be on staff. Like, they don't need to deal with that. They're working too.
But actually, I think the funniest thing is somebody actually has taped it, although they swear they will never do it. When I heard a certain guest was coming last year and another track director heard the same thing, we actually grabbed each other's arms at the staff meeting and bounced around in a circle.
Nice.
Yeah.
May I ask whom?
No.
Okay.
So, but I do, I tease Mary a lot, but actually she is very, very professional. I've always seen our staff members be professional because we are working and we know it's a lot of work and we are professional people, but I will tease her for the rest of her life that she would just pass out. And yeah, that would be funny. That would be rather humorous, but no,
I'm really tall. And so me falling to the ground after screaming, I think really, I mean, it would cause a ruckus.
Actually, and I will tell you, Mary, I will, because it's you and just you, because nobody else is ever going to hear this. It was actually when I heard Joe Flanagan was coming last year. And I did it with another track director, and literally we bounced around the room going, ee! making noises only dolphins can hear. And you know the sad thing? I never saw him.
Oh, that's just sad.
I never, ever saw him. I actually saw him one time, like half of his head, when I was walking through Walk of Fame to talk to one of my guests. But I never got to see any of his panels or got an autograph or anything else.
That's a barn burner.
Yeah, this is what happens every year for me.
Yeah.
Yeah. I never saw Patrick Stewart last year either, which I still can't.
Neither did I. I am so mad though, because that Star Trek The Next Generation was really my first fandom thing. Like, I mean, because I'm, you know, in my early 30s, and so it came out when I was kind of young, and my dad loved Star Trek, the original series. And so when The Next Generation came out, he was, like, happy as a clam. And so we started watching that together and, like, basically got through all of Star Trek Next Generation. And it was just like, oh, dude, this is my freaking childhood right here.
Yep. There you go. That was it.
It was, like, yeah. Earl Grey hot.
Earl Grey hot. Actually, and I hate Earl Grey. I tried to like Earl Grey because
me too. I hate it. It tastes like because it tastes like what wet naps would taste like based on how they smell.
and you've licked the wet naps to prove that, haven't you?
I said based on how they smell. Hello, I'm not licking a wet nap. That's gross.
Yeah.
Again, you're not doing it. Never again.
You're welcome.
Oh, boy.
Okay. Well, I think, John, we might be about at the end at this point after the licking of wet naps.
How do you end with that?
After the licking of wet naps. Oh,
it's almost like you want to keep going so that you forget about licking wet naps.
Well, I can tell you my favorite con experience.
Oh, yes, please do.
Yes.
As a staffer, there have been, like, way too many to choose from. But as a non-staff moment, we had just finished having the NC-17 fanfic panel and went over, and my friend had gotten a boot on her car. So we're waiting for the person to come and unboot her car and blah, blah, blah. So I finally end up going back to bed because I have to work the first shift the next day. And so I go to my bed and, you know, change into my pajamas and turn on the History Channel and I'm watching some documentary on Ben Franklin. And all of a sudden, like, the door opens and I hear, hello? And I was like, okay, first of all, I'm not staying in a room with any dudes, so I don't know who just walked into my room. Like, and it's Lance Henriksen.
Lance Henriksen? Are you serious?
Swear to God. So he walks in my room with my friend Amy, and he's like, how's it going? And I just looked at him, and I was like, I know who you are. And he's like, oh, shit. And I was like, no, dude, it's cool. Do you want some sangria? And he's like, okay. So he's like, we're sitting there talking and he's like, blah, blah, blah about Taiwan or something like that. And how Amy and I totally need to go to Taiwan. It'll like change your whole life. Well, so very, very, very long story short, because we ended up hanging out with him for like 4 hours. He gave my friend $60 because her car got booted. He took us all and got us all drinks and whatever. We did a photo shoot in front of the fountain in the Marriott, and he, you know, like How I Met Your Mother, where it's like, hey, have you met my friend Ted, your wingman? He did that for my friend Laura because she had a crush on a guy who was dressed as Doctor Who. And so Doctor Who guy knew who Lance Henriksen was. So he's like, hi, I'm Lance Henriksen. He's like, oh, my God. He's like, have you met my friend Laura?
How did he show up in your room, though?
That's the better part of the story. I want to know how that happened.
He was like with your friend. And okay.
Amy was downstairs smoking, and he was just like, you just look like you're having kind of a hard day. And because she was calling her boyfriend because she missed her boyfriend or something. I don't know exactly how it happened. It was hysterical. I'm like, okay. And so my friends walk into the room, and I'm pointing at him because they have no idea who he is. I was like, aliens! Dude from Aliens! Like,
yes.
And they're like, I still don't know who he is. And so I have all of these pictures of us out with Lance. And by the way, it was his idea to do the photo shoot in front of the fountain.
Yeah. He was a great guest. He was a fun interview too.
Yeah. So the next day I was how you feeling? And he's like, I could have probably done with some more sleep, but other than that, I'm good.
Wow.
And these are the great stories you get at Dragon Con sometimes. They're awesome. Yep.
Weird, crazy, crazy stuff happens, but it's good times all around.
Wow. Well, with that, I'm still kind of flabbergasted.
He was so nice, you know, like just so genuinely nice. Because my friend came in crying after, because you know, like you budget for con and it's specific, like based on like what you're trying to do. She drove down from Ohio and like $60 being out, $60 was a big freaking deal. And he just goes, well, here, I'm just going to give this to you. And then we can like hang out and have fun. And she's like, no, I'm fine. I was like, thanks, Lance. That's very sweet. And handed it over to her.
Thank you. You know what? It's good. Go on.
No, I'm fine.
That's awesome.
Let me ask you one other question. Hmm. Now you're in Ohio, right?
No, I'm in Atlanta now.
Oh, okay.
I am from Ohio.
Now, when you first came, were you living in Ohio?
Yes, I drove down, got my first ever speeding ticket in between Dayton and Cincinnati, and came to my first con, drove to that first con, and ended up staying in like a campground with my friend. And then after that, stayed in the hotels and whatever, because with working, it's, I don't know how people go home, you know, like I just, I don't get.
Wow. Okay. So I didn't know that. I mean, you know, cause Dragon Con is in Atlanta, and, you know, inside of the group of people that know it, it doesn't seem like there's a lot of people that come from anywhere but the South. I guess maybe there is. It just, you know, you always get this feeling that, you know, out West has Comic-Con, and, you know, that's what everyone goes to there. And that, you know, maybe, you know, of more recent times in New York, they have their Comic-Con or whatever they're calling it up there. It just seems like it's always more of a Southern thing for Dragon Con. But I mean, I guess if you have, you know, 30,000-40,000 plus people, they must not all be coming from the South.
Yeah, I have good friends who flew over from Seattle, and one person who came in from London or whatever. So I mean, like, people will come if you build it.
So how did you hear about Dragon Con the first time then?
I was actually on a listserv for Buffy fanfic, and all of my friends were talking about Dragon Con, and I'd never been to a fandom convention, and I was like, really, it was one of those like absolute, complete, total, petrifying terror. I was like, oh my God, what if all of these people are like creepy and whatever? And you know, like where you psych yourself out like crazy. And so I was like, you know what? It's fine. I have family here. And so if people are really awful or whatever, then I'll just go hang out with my family and I'll just be with my family for that weekend. Obviously, that did not happen. Because the people who are freaky and weird are my friends now.
Right. As they all are creepy and weird, but they're all the best kind of creepy and weird.
My friend Karen, whose wedding I'm in next year, I actually met her in line that first Dragon Con for a James Marsters panel. Oh. So, yeah. It's like, these are like my best friends ever are the people that I've met at Dragon Con. Most of my friends in Atlanta are from Con. And so it's pretty funny because these are the people that accept you for exactly how you are and what you love and what gets you so excited that your head can possibly explode.
Woohoo! Yep. Well, and actually give one pimp out for you, because you actually put this together with Whedonverse and with other groups, which is you do a fanfic panel late night at 11:30 on Saturday in the Whedonverse room. And you're the one who tries to find people for it and pulls people in. And this is a very interesting panel. And so if people want to talk about fanfic After Dark, that is the panel to go to. So I will give her that props on that one panel.
Yep. It's NC-17 fanfic, though. So we're going to be discussing things that are not of a young adult lit nature.
Yeah. And that's why it's in the Whedonverse room, not in the young adult lit room.
I was like, I don't want people to walk in and go, seriously? Okay.
And that is 11:30 p.m. So
exactly p.m. Yeah.
So let me ask you this last question, and then we'll move on, which is where is the young adult lit room this year?
We are in the Marriott. We're actually in the, I believe it's the atrium level. Is that where like the sky bar and stuff are?
Yes,
I think so. Yeah.
Okay.
I
mean, that is atrium. Yeah. We're actually right by where the blood drive is. So file the signs for the blood drive and you will find us.
Yeah, getting
I think it's atrium level 707, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, sometimes it's difficult to find the blood drive, too. I mean, there's plenty of signs, but it's kind of like hidden off to the side. And that's another thing that hopefully we get the volunteer, what's the name? Help me out, Lee. Charity stuff.
John Tackett.
Thank you.
And Everett, who we hope going to be talking to us very soon. Yes.
Hopefully we'll be able to get them on and talk about all the good stuff that Dragon Con does, besides making us happy. So, Mary, thank you once again for coming out and joining us. Is there anything that you want to plug of anywhere that people can find you? You have a Twitter account or anything?
Well, we have Twitter, Facebook, and a live journal, and you know, it's all, you know, pretty basic. It's all of it's linked on our website, which is yalit.dragoncon.org. But it's we're all over the place. Okay. Social networking wise.
Cool. All right. Well, until next time, Lee, thanks again for coming out.
Thank you.
And we'll talk to you all with the next director's interview.
Woohoo!
See you at Dragon Con.
Bye.
Bye.
This has been a production of The Unique Geek. To leave a comment or suggestion, call us at 833-210-TUG or email us at thegeeks@theuniquegeek.com. Follow The Geeks on Twitter @TheUniqueGeek. Visit our listserv at listserv.theuniquegeek.com. This podcast is distributed under a Creative Commons share alike non-commercial license.